Live from the Roe Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
It seems like you have a tenuous grasp on the English language in general.
Filibuster.
With Jeff Mannix.
If it were a 1 out of 5 thing, and it is, what would you give me? The obvious 5-star rating, or would you be a liar?
And Taylor Mannix.
It's sort of like going from prime rib to, I don't know, weird brother of prime rib.
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
You're a good guy, my friend.
That means brother in French. I don't know why I know that. I took 4 years of Spanish.
You know hermano?
Hermano is brother in Spanish. As in, hey, hermano.
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
You are going to fail and bomb and gag and fail and bomb.
Yella, let's go.
Good afternoon. And welcome into your Mannix Monday Nosh Lunch Hour. Looking for a new flavor? Try Nosh Tacos that is bringing the bold flavors of Baja California to Portland, Maine. Fresh ingredients, chill vibes, and large margs. Five Canal Plaza is where you'll go to get the best taco the city has to offer. Open Mondays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. You can also order online at noshtaco.com. Nosh Tacos, tacos, tortas, and beach vibes. So an exciting time here once again. Our second week of the Nosh Lunch Hour. We'll tell you about specials later on, though. First, though, we've got a review. State championship weekend in high school sports to lead off the Nosh Lunch Hour. He's been here every Friday during the high school sports seasons, going all the way back to Labor Day weekend, and back for one more time to talk about our final championship Saturday of the 2023-2024 school year, which we had over the weekend. Here to wrap it all, Michael Hoffer joins us once again from the Forecaster. Michael, great to talk to you again as you made it through another wild state championship weekend.
Yes, we did, and I can't believe we've come to the finish line. It seems like that Labor Day weekend was just yesterday, doesn't it? I mean, this year has flown. I say that every year, and I think maybe this year was the fastest of all. And, you know, certainly these couple weeks of the spring sport playoffs were incredibly full of action and not much sleep, but it was pretty unforgettable all the way around.
Yeah, well, and I guess we'll start with maybe the action that took place at Fitzpatrick Stadium covering some lacrosse. We'll start on the girls' side because I know one matchup, and I know it's not necessarily the Class A matchup, but Class B, we talked with you a lot about this year, Michael. Greeley, Freeport, we finally got that matchup, and the Rangers are three-time champions.
Yeah, and, you know, and it wound up being a one-goal game. It just didn't end up, it didn't get there the way really anybody thought. You know, this was a game that people have really been talking about since the teams played way back in week one. Greeley won 8-7 in overtime. And, you know, and then there was just really a question, were the heel points going to line up right so they could play in the state game? Because clearly those are the two best teams. Thankfully they did. And then I don't know what happened to the Falcons on the way over to the stadium the other day, but they really didn't show up in the first half. And before you knew it, it was Greeley 7-1 at halftime. It looked like it might be even a running clock kind of a game. And then the Falcons that we know and love from this season showed up for the second half, a dramatic comeback, but ultimately it fell just one goal short. They weren't able to get the ball. But they weren't able to get a shot off. They turned it over late in regulation, and then Greeley was able to run out the clock. And, you know, the Rangers, they did it again. They lost four games during the season. They maybe didn't look as dominant as the last two teams that won state titles, but behind Ava Williams and Asia Kelman, their terrific 1-2 punch, they were able to get the job done, and some other players stepped up big in this game, too. Kylie Lord with 3 goals, really an unheralded player, had a huge game for them. And they just knew what to do on the big stage. And, you know, Freeport, you just can't get – these state games can get away from you quickly if you don't get off to a good start. And even though they had the valiant comeback, it just wasn't quite enough. And Freeport wasn't able to add a Class B title to the Class C title they won a year ago. But I guarantee you they're going to be right back in the mix next season. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see the same matchup in next year's state game. So really a valiant comeback by the Falcons, but ultimately it really just had a little bit too much, and kudos to them for bringing home their third consecutive crown.
Well, the other Class B state championship game was certainly a classic, needing overtime to be decided before the Yarmouth Clippers upend the York Wildcats 13-12. Just tell us about that game, because I was kind of following along as I was calling baseball, and it looked like an epic game to start the day there on Saturday at Fitzy.
Yeah, it absolutely was. You know, Yarmouth's had a boys lacrosse program for the better part of three decades, and I would argue that that's the most dramatic, maybe impactful victory that they've ever had. This was a game of runs. You know, York was up early 3-1. Yarmouth went up 6-3. Yarmouth had an 11-8 lead in the fourth quarter, and York rattled off four quick goals, including one with 15 seconds left. It looks like they're going to win the championship because they had won eight faceoffs in a row. All they had to do was win one more and run out the clock, but Yarmouth managed to get possession, and then just an incredible tying goal with only 2.4 seconds left. You can't draw this stuff up, guys. It was really that dramatic. Coulter Olsen, who was huge for Yarmouth all day, set up Hakan Yao for the tying goal, and then York actually got the ball to start overtime, but they were offsides, and Yarmouth got the ball back. There was no question who was going to get the ball on his stick, who was going to take the shot. Coulter Olsen managed to find just enough of room, a little sliver of room to get his hands free, ripped the ball into the net, and a minute into overtime, Yarmouth has the championship 13-12. You know, York had dominated Yarmouth the last couple times they played, last year in the playoffs, this year in the regular season, but the Clippers turned it around. Their first title in 3 years, their seventh overall. And just incredible drama. I mean, you really cannot draw this stuff up. And, you know, how these kids can dig deep and come up in the clutch in these kind of situations, I always marvel at that. You know, it's amazing enough for professional big-time college athletes to do that. But, you know, for 17, 18-year-old kids to somehow dig deep into that reservoir of heart and confidence and come up big when you have to, it's so admirable. And what a great title. And it's one that Yarmouth's never going to forget. Coulter Olsen's going to play next year at Rutgers. And, you know, he's going to go on and do great things in life, but he'll never forget that moment. This is the stuff that the dreams are made of, and every young man and every young woman dreams about that plays lacrosse dreams about scoring a state championship-winning goal, and he got to live it. So pretty cool stuff there on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll save Class A for last. Wells on the boys' side, 14-9, they get there first, and it's kind of funny. One gets there first on the boys' side, the other kind of continues their dominance over with Wainfleet. Surprised by either result, Michael, and are kind of what you expected with both championships coming back south?
No, I'm not a big surprise. I think it's a wonderful story for Wells. I mean, this is a program that's been close the last couple of years, and you know, both the boys and girls teams at Wells have really become very prominent, and it's great to see. I mean, whenever you see newer programs step up and become champions, it's a great thing. And the boys are able to finish it off the other night. And, you know, the girls have been there twice in 3 years now. They haven't won it yet, but, you know, they've certainly been knocking on the door, and wouldn't be surprised if they get back there next season and maybe turn things around. But, you know, it's pretty clear this was going to be Wainfleet's chance. I mean, last year they had a painful double overtime loss to NYA in the quarterfinals. They might have won it last year, or certainly would have gotten to the state game. But, you know, this year's team, Tilsley Kelly is special. She's one of the great players in the program's rich history. They've had so many great players, but no one's ever scored 8 goals in a state game like she did the other day. And, you know, Lydia Berkness came up big. Chloe Marblestone was a big contributor to the team this year. And there was a little bit of a slow start for the Flyers. They had 8 turnovers in the game's first 10 minutes. And then once they settled in, the goals started coming quickly, and they were able to roll. So that's 12 now in the MPA era, 14 overall since Kathy Connors took over the program in 1993. And no end in sight for this dynasty. And, you know, the titles have slowed down a little bit over the past decade, but now this is 2 and 4 years, and I think they're going to start coming a little more frequently.
Yeah, certainly seems so with how well they played in that state championship game. We will round it out with the two Friday night Class A lacrosse state championships here, and a couple local schools winning them. It was all local schools involved. Yarmouth, we'll talk a lot about that school here over this over this conversation. They win the girls' championship in Class A, 12-8 over Falmouth, but the Falmouth Navigators boys, I'm sure it felt really good to take down the Cape Elizabeth Capers in the way they did in the final, quite convincingly.
Yeah, that's been several years in the making for Falmouth, and quite a therapeutic victory, no question about it. You know, both in 2021 and 22, Cape just absolutely dominated Falmouth in the state game, and you know, the Capers came into the season the three-time defending champs. It looked for a while like they were going to cruise to a fourth, but you know, injuries really took a toll on that program, and that's to take nothing away from Falmouth, though, because they were so impressive the other night. And they really came out, and they took it to Cape right from the get-go. 5-1 after one quarter. Hayden Davis had the game of his life with six first-half goals, and Falmouth just completely ran away with it. We even had a short lightning weather delay, and it didn't change anything. I don't think Cape's ever had a situation where they've had a running clock go against it. Certainly not a state game. I'm not sure it's ever happened. And that's just how emphatically Falmouth won the other night. Just such an impressive team. And, you know, the good news for Falmouth and the bad news for everyone else is almost everyone's going to be back next year. So you might as well get used to this. I think the Navigators might be starting a run here of maybe several titles in a row. So just an amazing performance and probably just the start of something special. And then, you know, the girls' game really changed at halftime. Falmouth had a 7-4 lead. Not sure exactly what Yarmouth did, but they came out a completely different team in that second half. Just a race to a lead and then never looked back. Falmouth managed just three shots in the second half, two of them coming in the last minute, and they scored just one goal. So, I mean, it was utter dominance in the second half by Yarmouth. And, you know, this is a team, they were the third seed in Class A. They had to get through Kennebunk, which was first on Tuesday, and that was a huge win in and of itself because they ended Kennebunk's three-year reign, and Yarmouth had lost back-to-back state games to Kennebunk, so that was an enormous win. I wondered if they were going to have a letdown coming into the state game, and, you know, they might have slightly a little bit in the first half, but when it really mattered in the second, they came up big, and just a very senior-laden team that's had a lot of success, not only in lacrosse, but in other sports, and it led to a championship, and the Clippers ship rolls on there, and really, one of the great titles. I know this was sweeter than most, the fact that they got through Kennebunk first, and been coming from behind to beat Falmouth. It's the first time that Falmouth and Yarmouth have ever played in a state game in girls lacrosse. Happened one other time in boys lacrosse, but, you know, great environment and just so much great lacrosse just in my little coverage area here, and that was all on display Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Great Saturday night of lacrosse and also a great Saturday of baseball and softball.
Uh-huh.
I'll take you to the baseball diamond first. Obviously, a south sweep for Class A's,
wow.
B, C, and D,
yep.
St. Dom's, Saucapee Valley, Yarmouth, Scarborough from bottom to top. We'll start at the top, though, instead of how we did it with the Class A, because Scarborough, we've talked about a lot, a team that was not favored to be in this position. One loss, and this time a shutout. I saw they only let up, I believe it was three or four runs throughout the entire playoff run that they played after they shut out the Eagles, too, in the state championship. So just quite the run here for the Red Storm.
Yeah, I mean, they really played well when it mattered most, and I still think, I got to tell you, that the loss they had of Deering way back, it was on May 7th. At the time, they were 7-0. They lost that game. I think people maybe started to think, all right, well, maybe Scarborough's not that good. Well, guess what? They didn't lose a game after it, and they won their last 12, including these four playoff games. Yeah, as you mentioned, Taylor, they gave up three total runs in four playoff games. So really, pitching was this team's calling card all along. Just some phenomenal arms. And just they really saved their best for last. I mean, beating a great Falmouth team in the regional final and shutting them down and winning with relative ease, and then doing it again on a Saturday against Messalonskee. Remarkable. This is Scarborough's third championship, maybe their most impressive one considering how good Class A South is, and just the fact that they were able to. They didn't have a ton of offense this year, but they were able to score. You were able to score runs when it mattered in these bigger games, and you knew once you got a couple runs on the board, their pitching was just going to shut everybody down. So really an impressive performance. Yarmouth had a little bit of a different route in Class B with two of the most dramatic playoff wins that I've ever seen to get to the state final. And then, as you know, Jeff, from being there, that the state game was a little bit of an anticlimax, partially because Caribou had such a tough time defensively. But, you know, Yarmouth had to survive York in the semis on a two-run walk-off bunt. And then they're literally down to their last strike against Greeley last Tuesday in the regional final. They just looked dead in the water, and Alec Agnan with the biggest hit of his young life, two-strike, two-run triple to turn that game around and give Yarmouth a victory. And then their great senior class that has accomplished so much in sports like football and golf and soccer, of course, and basketball and hockey. And they didn't have that baseball piece championship, although they got to the game last year and lost by one run to Old Town. So to finish that off and for all those great, triumphant, successful seniors to bow out with that state title, with that Golden Glove, was really special. So No shortage of drama last week, guys. I still can't get over some of the games I saw.
Yeah, it was quite something there. I know I talked to Coach Mark Halstead from Yarmouth before the game, and I asked him, like, is there a lot of motivation for these guys to actually get it done? And he said, absolutely. There's been a kind of the quiet determination ahead of this game to finally, with this class, win a baseball state championship, and they certainly did that very, very well. But I just want to pause here before we get to any other games and just congratulate Yarmouth on what an amazing spring that they have had. Four different teams won state championships in the span of 5 days at that school, not to mention everything that they won in the fall and in the winter. This, to me, is one of the more kind of remarkable athletic years we've seen from a school, especially a school of that size, in a while.
No question. When you tally the boys' and girls' accomplishments, there's another school that had a year that's probably never been had before on the girls' side, and we'll get to Cheverus in a moment.
Sure,
I think.
Sure will.
it's just remarkable for Yarmouth. Let's not forget, girls tennis lost 3-2 in the state match. They were that close to making it a fifth championship team this spring. You know, I joked with Yarmouth athletic director Sarah Holmes. I said, all right, it's got to be a mixed blessing being a Yarmouth athletic director, right? Because you have all these great teams, but on the flip side, when a lot of your colleagues are already thinking about summer break, you're at St. Joe's and Fitzpatrick Stadium and USM and places like that to watch all these championship games. So it's really, it's been a remarkable run. It started way back in the fall. It went through the winter with skiing and with hockey, and here we are with, you couldn't ask for a better punctuation mark on this school year for them. So really, truly a remarkable year all around, and what a great weekend.
Yeah, and I know you weren't really able to catch it, but obviously Saucapee Valley as well. First title in 8 years. Mm-hmm. Jamie Stacy, the head coach, was a player for them in like 1992 as well. So kind of player turned coach, wins one with his son as well. But more importantly, they finally get it done, because it feels like Saucapee, as we talked about last year with you a lot, Michael, undefeated. It felt like last year was going to be the year, but they get it done this year instead. And it's all the same good vibes, I'm sure, in Hiram, Maine today.
Right, and it probably means a little bit more a year after you fall short, and if you're able to come back, and if there's no guarantee you're going to get back to these games. You know, you can always say, all right, we didn't do it this year, but we'll do it next year. There's no guarantee at any level of sports you're going to get back. There's so many factors to it. So it had to be sweet. I'm sure it was sweet for St. Dom's, the great season they had, to win it again. And I mean, all these baseball champions were very, very worthy this year.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Dom's winning their third consecutive Class D state championship, and a senior class of 8 players who, when they won their first title in the string in 2022, the team had no seniors on it, which is just amazing under Bob Blackman there. And Ashton Hammond, too, threw a one-hitter in the state championship game in a 9-1 victory over Stern. So a really great showing there for that school from Auburn. Let's turn to softball now. And certainly, as you mentioned, Cheverus on the girls' side of things had a year to remember athletically, capped off by arguably one of the greatest softball pitchers ever to grace a high school softball diamond in the state of Maine, who's just a freshman, at Addison DeRoche, literally flying halfway across the country the day before the game, pitching in an elite softball tournament. I believe it was in Nebraska the day before, coming back and then winning the state championship 3-1 with Cheverus over Oxford Hills.
Yeah, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, isn't it, guys? I mean, it's really, this story's been remarkable since day one. And we heard that Cheverus had this great pitcher coming in, and until you see it, you can't believe it. And I got a chance to actually see her first start. I was lucky enough to cover that game. All she did was throw a no-hitter, and it's really been lights out ever since. And as soon as she arrived, I think a team that was going to be very good anyway suddenly became championship caliber. And then it all culminated last week, and for starters, maybe the best softball game, maybe environment-wise, certainly ever in this state. When Cheverus and Windham played in front of an absolutely overflow packed house over at USM. I know that the USM athletic director said he'd never seen a crowd like that, even for some of their conference tournament games. And it resulted in a 10-inning epic where Brooke Gary and Addison DeRoche combined for 44 strikeouts. The game was scoreless going into the 10th, and Cheverus finally pushed a couple runs across. And at that point, you knew DeRoche was going to slam the door. And Windham's reign came to an end, and Cheverus's reign, I think, is just beginning. And, that state game with Oxford Hills wasn't easy. Oxford Hills took them down. They put the tying runs on in the seventh inning and actually had the winning run at the plate. But DeRoche wasn't about to give that up. And, yeah, she was actually in Kansas City for a tournament. And I think coming into the season, I think her family had let Service know that if they got to the state game, she wasn't going to be available. But they were able to rearrange some things, and she just didn't want to miss that opportunity. And I know the team is thrilled that she was able to be there for it. And Service has its first title in softball. And like you alluded to, Jeff, I mean, it's a school year without peer. They went undefeated and won the field hockey state title back in the fall. Two championships in the winter. Ice hockey lost one game to Yarmouth Freeport. They avenged that in the state final. Girls basketball goes undefeated, wins the championship. And now softball with their first title. They lost one game, and they avenged that to win them in the regional final. So to win four titles and lose a total of two games along the way, I don't know that we'll ever see anything like that again. Just an amazing run for girls' sports. And, you know, you look at those teams, and they all had superstars for the most part. Mm-hmm. Lucy Johnson with field hockey,
right.
Maddie Fitzpatrick in basketball, and, of course, Addison DeRoche in softball. And, you know, some really, really talented players in hockey, too. But
including Lucy Johnson, too.
Yeah, right.
It's a golden era right now at Chevrolet for girls' sports. So yeah. What a great way to cap that off.
Yeah, three Division I level play. It's just unbelievable, the talent right now that's there on the girls' side. I mean, Jeff and I were talking about, too, a school that, for people who don't know, at one point didn't allow women even in their in their hallways.
Yeah, a quarter century ago. There was, yeah. And even, you know, 10, 15 years ago, sure, they were competitive in most girls' sports, but they weren't winning titles with the exception of maybe, even field hockey hadn't won yet at that point. So, while they were competitive in field hockey and basketball and soccer, they hadn't broken through. And now they've broken through, and it looks like they're not going to give up anytime soon on their stranglehold.
No, not at all. Well, one team as well that we talk about getting redemption came at Gorham as well in the Class B.
Yeah.
The Nokomis Warriors, they dethroned the York Wildcats, surprisingly to, I think, a lot of folks down here in southern Maine. We obviously didn't get a chance, Michael, to see the Warriors a lot. We saw York, but what a performance by those Nokomis Warriors to go out there and avenge last year's loss and get a state title back up there around the Bangor area.
Yeah, no question. I was kind of following that game as it went along, and I think, like a lot of people, just seeing York this year, I didn't think anyone was going to touch them. And, you know, kudos to Nokomis for finding a way to beat them. And, you know, it sounds like it was a great down-to-the-wire contest, so kudos to them. Got NYA repeating in Class D. This is a team, let's not forget, 2 years ago there wasn't even a varsity softball team at NYA. They brought it back last year and won the championship, and then they did it again this season, and it wasn't easy. They had to win both their regional final and their state final by 2-1 scores. And they got pushed, but they pushed back, and they finished it off. And, of course, Halldale with another great season, and they win Class C. So a terrific year on the diamonds, on the lacrosse field, the tennis court, the track. Just really one of the great spring seasons that I can ever remember.
Yeah, for sure. And now the high school sports season is over for the summer, which means you get to take a little bit of a break before you'll start the fall previews, I'm guessing sometime in August. But
End of August. It'll be a while.
All right. Well, that's good. So what's on the agenda for Michael Hoffer during these few months with no high school sports?
Well, be playing a little catch-up first. I still got a few state games to recap and do athletes of the year and all that kind of fun stuff. But it'll just be nice to have some downtime, some beach time, some reading time. I've got some family coming in from out of town, and that's usually what my summers consist of. But I do know they go very quickly. And everyone should get out and take advantage of the nice weather and the long days while you can, because it will be at the end of August, beginning of September, before you know it. And then it'll be on to year 24 for me. So I continue to be extremely fortunate in my professional life, and there's nothing else I'd rather be doing.
Well, and I'll leave you with this one, last one for me. Celtics winning it tonight. We getting Banner 18 raised in Boston, or what?
I think so, although it was bad luck the other day. I think once they got behind the other night, they kind of just packed it in and said, all right, we'll come back and win it in game 5. And that crowd's going to be incredible, and I think that will will them to victory. And there's some symmetry here with it being on June 17th, right? Because in 2008, they beat the Lakers to win that championship on the same day. Let's hope that they take care of business. Otherwise, things are going to get a little stressful around here, but I do think that they will take care of business tonight. And, you know, I feel bad for, like, these 7-8-year-old kids that have never experienced a championship parade. It's been 5 years since the Boston team has won a championship. So we're long overdue.
Yeah.
Let's take care of business tonight.
Yeah, bring Titletown back. Michael Hoffer from The Forecaster, thanks so much for joining us today and every day that you have over these last 8 9 months or so. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to previewing the 2024-25 sports seasons with you here once we get going around Labor Day.
You bet, guys. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you, and I wish you and everyone out there a wonderful summer.
Same to you. Michael Hoffer from The Forecaster. We'll come back and open the phone lines for you next as part of the Nosh Lunch Hour. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix.